I really appreciate Paul. Okay, I'm going to go. I really appreciate Paul sharing from Revelation chapter 7. And I have Revelation chapter 5 in my sermon notes for today, but I'm just going to use that. I'm not going to read through Revelation 5 because Revelation 7 says the same thing. We will be there with palm branches, experiencing unity and humility before our worthy Christ together. That will be a powerful moment. You won't be looking at me, and I won't be looking at you. But we'll be noticing the expanse of our Lord's lordship as we cry out with all creation praises to him. Very powerful. As we were singing this morning, two things the Holy Spirit gave me. Number one is that when we try to fight our own battles, it just doesn't work. And we're in the wrong place if we try to do that. And this is what it brought to my mind. Has anybody ever talked to you about putting on the armor of God? Okay, well, do you put on the armor of God every morning? I was listening to somebody talk about this, and they were talking to someone else, and the person said, well, do you put your armor on every day? He goes, no. I never take it off. Now, if you look at Ephesians 6, one of the pieces of armor that we never really talk about is this surrounding armor. So, you gird your loins with truth, you shod your feet with the gospel of peace, you put on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, you take up the sword of the Spirit, and the shield of faith. Those are six things. There's a seventh. And this is how that verse comes out. It's that you robe yourself in prayer. All prayer. And there are two prayers that are going on, or two prayers that are going on that just really helps us understand this. Number one, in Hebrews, we find that Christ is our intercessor. He is interceding for us constantly, continually. And what does that mean? That means that anything that we've ever faced, he already knows about. Any need that there is, he's already interceding for, and he has sacrificed for it. And there is nothing that we've experienced here in humanity or in our human experience that he has not touched and experienced. Can you imagine that? Number two, the Holy Spirit, and this is Romans chapter 8. The Holy Spirit is interceding for us in a way that is so deep that we are too weak to understand it. And that's not just for us individually. This is for us as creatures of the living God who have found ourselves in a place where we need him. So this morning we're going to talk about cultural competence. And this discussion is, Joshua does a great job with this. So this is what I could do. I could read it, and you could go to sleep. Okay, so we're not going to do that this morning. So, everybody needs a PowerPoint. Junior Holger, can you make sure everybody gets a PowerPoint? Because we're going to be active this morning. And while we're handing this out, let me just warn you, yes, we're going to break into small groups. And I would like to, from a dynamic standpoint, remind you that the purpose of this is not discussion. There are places where discussion is good. But discussion with the Holy Spirit and the presence of Christ is way more valuable than just discussion. Okay? Should I make that statement exactly over? Well, number one, you can listen to the audio tape, but I will attempt to say it, and I know I won't say it exactly. Discussion in itself has a limitation. If it is not in the with the presence of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Christ. So we can feel good about discussion, but when we begin to hear from God through discussion, that's powerful. And that is not doing church the same way. So if I take Lori, who said we're not going to do church the same way, if she's shepherding that forward, today we don't want to do discussion like discussion. We want Christ to be in the middle of our discussion. Can we do that? So I'd like to just activate that right now. So Lord, for this morning, we give this to you. For our deepest groanings, we know that you've already seen them. For the people and the relationships you have around us and the culture that you have around us, you have given of your Spirit that there would be good news coming forth from us for the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this morning, we're asking that you would activate on a new level the words of Christ and the breath of the Spirit. It's your promise to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so a couple of these things have been mentioned. I just want to say thank you so much. So thank you for those of you who came to the baptism last week for Joey. I was not on my game, but everybody else was on their game. And praise God, Joey got dunked and he got dried off. Okay? And his family came. So thank you so much for... And I apologize for that. Oh, we might not have it. I might be calling it off. But Pastor Pete was not getting back to me, so I had no idea what was going on there. But thank God it all worked out. And then yesterday, the people from Agape, you guys were about a third of the group that came. Congratulations to you for showing up and encouraging Isaac and Katie Beth. This has been such a long journey for them. And I've been in their living room several times in Cleveland, and all in that journey is getting better. Praise God. Praise God. Just continue to pray for Isaac, because Isaac has been in a place where he's been debilitated for a long time, that he could actually think about working or doing something. So this is from a real practical standpoint. Pray for his fingers. This has been a yearning of his for a long time, that he could play guitar again. And then pray for God to open opportunity to work. So those are two things. And then just remember, yes, so next week is Costa Rica Sunday. Paul already said this. And then Roar starts on Monday. And then don't forget our car washes. You guys are going to be, so this is August 10th, but I know what's going to happen. You're going to be all burned out, and we're going to have this car wash, and there's going to be Pastor Dale and Ken and a few others who are all tired. And so please, if you can spare time on the 10th and the 24th, this is just gathering funds so that we can send other people, our youth, to new things next year and the year after that. That's what we're doing. Okay? August 10th and 24th. Okay, so now what I'm going to do real quickly is, and I don't know how I did on that. I hope that was only 5 minutes. I'm going to walk through a couple quotes. So you have in your hands the PowerPoint. There are 7 quotes in this PowerPoint. Just as a warning, what's going to happen is we're going to break up into groups less than 6. 6 is too many. 2 is too few. Okay? So at least 3, less than 6. You can do this. And what you're going to do is you're going to share a quote that resonated with you. Just one. This quote, number 1, number 2, number 3, resonated with me because you're going to go around the circle, and then you're going to pick one of those that stands out and, dis- and ask the Holy Spirit to help you learn and respond to that quote. Okay? So I'm going to walk through these quotes. This is a very rich section. So if you have those 12 rocks, this is really a powerful section. He like bang, 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 one after the other. So I've just picked a few of these. Quote number one, we must beware of cultural imperialism. I know it's a scary title. Don't be scared. An imperial mindset assumes that God is for us even when our lives are not led by the Spirit. That God is for us even when our lives are not led by the Spirit. This is a mindset of nationalism which assumes divine approval for the political affairs of our nation and our lives. So, let me just unpack that for a moment. So, we must follow Christ and not the USA. Is that hard to take? It's kind of hard for me to take. Because I grew up in a church where they were combined and God has blessed our nation, and He has blessed our nation, but it's for His kingdom, not for the USA's sake. Right? So the USA has both blessed and hurt others. America has hurt people groups. They've hurt nations. They've also blessed nations. So as long as we're not making America or the United States an idol, we're okay if we recognize that blessing only comes from God. Does that make sense? Now, God blesses righteousness. Now, if we want to flip this, we are in a country where we have freedom. But if we want to flip this, and if we want to go to countries who right now are persecuted, if you're a believer, like China or North Korea or India, which India is really turning on the screws now, if we think about that, if you're a believer in those countries, you could care less about your nation as a political entity, but you do care about your people who are a nation. And God cares about people who are a nation. And it's why the church is flourishing underground, because they're depending on their God instead of on the government, which is failing them and killing them. Really? Okay? The good news is an eternal blessing for all nations, beginning with family. I love the way Joshua brings this out, and we'll see a quote on that in a little bit. And the good news restores us from the effects of sin and Satan. So that's just kind of a composite of the whole section there. Quote number two, the mystery of the gospel is its amazing cultural versatility. The Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So at the time of Christ, there really were two entities, the Gentiles and the Jews. That Christ would come and bring those two entities together was amazing. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus are good news for both Jew and Greek. The diversity of culture and language was affirmed by the provision of the Holy Spirit to all when they gathered at the Feast of Pentecost. Remember what happened at Pentecost? They were filled with the Holy Spirit and they were speaking every language of the people who were in Jerusalem. So the next thing I have is the throne room scene of Revelation 5, and that's in there. But Paul read Revelation 7, and that is, so I'm just going to hold with that. We don't need to read through Revelation chapter 5. But when you understand that the United States is not going to have a contingent with a big sign or a big flag in front of the throne of God, but there will be people from the United States there. Maybe some that we are kind of astounded that they're there. And it won't be that we're astounded because that'll be a me thing. This is a Christ thing. So what God does will be marvelous. Now, I say that in a big level, but as we're thinking about these next quotes, This gets down to who we're interacting with and how we're thinking about them. Because I just talked about it on a national level, but if I can use an illustration, I was going to seminary in California, and I had to get a driver's license, and I had to get my car's license in California. First day, I show up at the DMV. I'm going, man, there is a lot of metal on these people here. Because on male and female, there were a lot of metal above their shoulders. All over. In places I didn't know you could put metal. And I'm going, whoa, this is a different culture. And I have to admit, I had to fight my me stuff, because if you are a follower of Christ, you need to look like this. I'm sorry. That's a me thing. Just like it is for nations, so it is with the people around us. And we need to be a culture here who is open to other people and bringing the good news of Christ. So, quote number three, as messengers of the gospel, we must learn how to be sensitive to different cultural ways of forming relationships. Respectful communication, personal space, group identity, privacy, appropriate public behavior, dress code, and concepts of time. You can tell that Joshua has been a lot of places to be able to say that. Romans 12:17 says that we should be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Now, I have to tell you, this is really hard. When I was in Africa, one of the hardest things I had to do is that I was the guest, so I always had to go first. And it was after the first day that they, like, okay, you go through the line first and eat the food. And finally, I grabbed my friend Jeremy, and I said, you're going with me and telling me what I'm picking out. Because I did not know what the stuff was that I was eating. And I was told not to eat anything in Africa. Don't eat anything. You're going to the DRC. No, don't eat anything. Culturally, things are different. And that's just an example of a huge culture. It wasn't damaging. But we have cultural ways that we damage others because we take our culture or what we think into relationships with other people. Quote number four. Cultural competence is essential to discipleship, even within our own culture. For every family is a diverse unit of culture, and every individual a more diverse unit. The Apostle Paul embraced this approach towards every culture he encountered, honoring its beauty, yet still insisting on its transformation. This is a powerful statement. We have culture within our family. Now, when I started fathering, Margaret remembers this, Naomi and Iska a little less, but I had rules because the only way you organized a family was to have rules, right? And all the rules applied to all the children. Am I right, Margaret? Yeah. So when the rules I made for Jake and all of a sudden were employed on Margaret and down to Naomi, Lori and I began realizing that this rule thing, it helps, but sometimes it hurts. And it hurts because they're individuals. They're individuals. And how much easier it'd be to make rules for everyone and it would just work. So even from our own family unit, we have to understand that we have to have competence to let the Holy Spirit into our relationships so that we can encourage them and not damage them. And I am sure that to the day that I die, I'll be hearing stories from my children about how I damaged them. And I just ask for the grace of God and saying, listen, I'm a frail human being. I did the best I could. But I want right now to nurture Jesus Christ in the middle of whatever relationship we have. So I've used my kids now for a couple examples, so I'll let you guys off the hook now. Quote number four, the way of the cross is the submission of all things to the authority of Jesus with the purpose of communicating the gospel of God's grace to a new group of people. Not so they become like the culture to which the messenger belongs, but so that they too would join that messenger in submission of all things to the authority of Jesus. To say Jesus is Lord means Caesar is not. It means I pledge allegiance to Jesus Christ and to God's kingdom for which he died, one spirit-led people, the world over, indivisible, with love and justice for all. And this is Yoder and Craybill kind of taking the Pledge of Allegiance to Christ. Quote number five, the gospel is primary. The culture, language, and personal preferences of the messenger are secondary. This was the way of Jesus among his diverse ethnic audience. So just a couple comments, and then I'll end the last two quotes. If Jesus wouldn't say it, then you shouldn't say it. Okay? Just a practical statement. If Jesus wouldn't say it to this person or on social media, then you shouldn't say it. And secondly, Jesus' love is shown through deep sacrifice and interaction. We need to do the same. Now, please grace me a little bit. So you know me. Sometimes I show up on Facebook about every 6 months. And I remember the first time I signed up for Facebook, and Conrad was poking me. And I'm going, what is a poke? What am I supposed to do with a poke? I don't know what a poke is or what I'm supposed to do with a poke. I didn't realize that that was something that was genuinely just saying, hey. So I thought, well, you know, what are you poking at? Well, the other thing we do on like Facebook is you like things. Now, why do you hit like? You hit like because you want to affirm the relationship with the person or you want to affirm what they're saying. But sometimes that like isn't really. So I'm thinking that Jesus would go way deeper than the feeling of, oh, I like something. So that way the person knows that I appreciate them. Sometimes I think we have to think, what Jesus would do is go much farther and deeper. Like, go and write a message to them. Like, I do appreciate you. How much more valuable that is? It's deeper. It's deeper. So if we take like as okay, I'm really encouraging all these people, you know, you like too much and then it doesn't mean much. Jesus loves on a deeper level. So that's just my Facebook thing. You guys okay with me? We're still okay? Okay. So the good news of the living, ascended Lord in Christ is that he lived and experienced all of the human life, what it's like to breathe, and he wants to transform us and breathe life into us. Okay, quote number 6 and 7. Every culture, it's getting late. Every culture, every family, every human personality, by default, are held in captivity to the prince of the powers of this world, which is Satan. The gospel brings each person, family, and culture to life in vibrancy and originality to the authority of Jesus. Every tribe, tongue, and nation have been designed by God to become a beautiful spectrum through which his glory will be revealed. It's true. John 17. Quote number 7, last quote. Cultural competence is not a compromise of the message for the sake of relevance, but a compromise of the messenger, you and me, for the sake of mutual respect and credibility. It means, cultural competence means, honoring all people as bearing the image of God uniquely and all cultures as bearing the glory of God uniquely. It's what we saw as Paul read in Revelation 7. This leads to an attitude of respect. It promotes listening and understanding before speaking and confronting. Okay? So, I'm going to say go in a moment, but I just want to make sure we have space first. This is what I want you to do. I want you to gather in groups of less than 6, more than 2. Less than 6, more than 2. What I want you to do is when you gather together, don't start talking. Someone in the group, just lead and say, we're going to give space right now for Jesus to speak to us. Okay? And then if it's a minute or 2 minutes, whatever it is, say thank you. And then go around the circle and everybody just share which quote hit them. And then once you've gone around the circle, I want the leader to pick one that seems like most people are resonating with, or even one that you think just resonates something that everybody would. And then I want you to spend the time, probably about 10 minutes or so, on that one quote, asking for the Holy Spirit to give insight to bless our time together. So, Lord, right now, I'm asking that you would interact with us so that we get in the right groups. Ask for your Spirit to give direction. And we want to open our ears to the actual presence of Christ, for the Word of God to have place in our heart and our thinking, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, go. Okay, if I could have everybody's attention then. So, this is what happened this morning. Some of you are in a group and you're saying, we didn't even get to pick out the quote. We didn't even get to follow all the rules. Some of you are like, well, this is really good because I got to do a lot of talking. And some of you are like, you know what? I didn't even get to talk. Did you notice that there's diversity in your group? That means that some people might have got left out, and some people might have got a little too much. This is what I ask the Holy Spirit to do. Start activating our ability to bring and think of how Christ would like to minister in a context. Now, if you remember, a month ago, I started moving Kermit around the sanctuary. Did anybody see Kermit today?
Yes. Oh, no.
I saw Kermit.
Where's Kermit?
Where's Kermit, Margaret? Okay, if you remember, we talked about who's insignificant or a misfit. This all works together, guys. Thinking about our ability to be able to bring Christ into a context or a relationship or a family, it all works together. So I specifically for this morning knew that there would be a little bit of chaos. I did get a little anxiety over at the beginning, but I've been asking the Holy Spirit, this is how we activate our ability to be able to bring God in the midst of our context, whether it's in a small group on Sunday morning, or whether it's a small group during the week that we have, or whether it's in a relationship with a neighbor or our family. So I'm asking the Holy Spirit to activate our ability to hear and respond. That is cultural competence. It does start very small. So you got the blessing of a seed this morning, believe it or not. Okay, do you feel better now? Yes. Let me seal that, and then worship team, you can come up. Lord, thank you that you are active and real and that you want to change. You want to change us. You want to change our relationships. You want to change this world. You have a plan that is way bigger than ours. I'm asking right now that your Spirit would seal all the things that we've experienced this morning. And we ask that you would reveal this promise that we can be effectual fruit bearers as we abide in you. So help us, Lord, to abide in you. In Jesus' name, amen.